In the name of Jesus, who is Lord over every authority, amen. Last week, Jesus had been down in Jerusalem, and there, if you remember, next to the pool of Bethesda, he had spoken to a man and said, "Stand up, carry your mat, and walk." The man listened and obeyed Jesus' word, and he was liberated from his paralysis of 38 years. After completing this great sign, Jesus again headed back north up to Galilee. And we find him in our text for today, having crossed over the Sea of Galilee up there in the north, and he has gone up a tall mountain next to the sea. The crowds have started to gather around Jesus. The intrigue from what he's been doing from the very beginning of the gospel is starting to grow. From that very first sign where Jesus had gone to the wedding party and saved that party by turning water into wine, the crowds are intrigued. Healings followed as well that is building this popularity. And so Jesus goes up on this tall mountain and crowds of thousands follow him, intrigued by who he is. There in the mountain, Jesus looks at this crowd of thousands in the wilderness and knows that they are hungry. So Jesus turns to one of his followers, Philip, and says, "Hey, Philip, where are we going to get food for all these people?" Philip, astonished by this math problem, all these people, food in the wilderness, how am I going to do this? He says, "Jesus, even if we were to have 6 months' wages with us of money, and we were able to go to a store to buy all this bread, that wouldn't even be enough to feed them more than maybe a bite each." "I don't think so, Jesus." Andrew, helpful that he is, chimes in and says, "Well, there's a boy here. We could steal his lunch, but I'm not sure how far that's going to go." Jesus tells them to have the crowd sit down. Jesus then takes the offering of this little boy that Andrew had offered up, takes the lunch of this boy, gives thanks to God, breaks it, and begins to share it. And the sharing that Jesus initiates is able to feed all 5,000 people that were gathered. They eat until they are satisfied, not just the one little bite that Philip had anticipated they might get. They ate until they were satisfied. And not only that, there were 12 baskets full of leftovers when they were done. The crowds, as you might imagine, were again astonished. Wow, this man out here in the wilderness is able to satisfy us with food. All of the bread that we ever wanted, he's able to give it to us. And Jesus begins to see the rumble within the crowd, the side conversations that are beginning to happen. They want to do something with Jesus. They have an idea. "We could take this man and make him our king. Because if he was king, then we would never be hungry again. We would be able to eat and we'd be filled. We would no longer be poor and needy. We would have the wealth that we've always been fighting for in our political situation." And so these great crowds get ready to make Jesus their king by force. Jesus sees this and he runs. He runs away to another mountaintop, even leaving his disciples alone. Jesus' disciples, then having been left by Jesus with all these crowds, decide to get out of there as well. So they get on a boat to sail back across the Sea of Galilee. And as they're crossing the Sea of Galilee without Jesus with them, the sea begins to become chaotic and full of waves and storm. The winds are opposing them, and they get stuck in the middle of the sea, unable to move anywhere, being tossed by the waves. Jesus shows up in the midst of this, walking to them on top of all the chaos. They are disturbed by the turmoil of the sea, but Jesus is able to, in a sense, float above the chaos. The fear, the anxieties, the worries that are bothering the disciples in the boat, Jesus is calm above it all. And Jesus comes to them and says, "It is I, do not be afraid." Once they realize that this is Jesus, they ask him to get into the boat with them. And we're told as soon as Jesus joins them in the boat, they have been struggling to go anywhere on the sea. Now they immediately get to where they needed to go. So having crossed the Sea of Galilee, having escaped these great crowds, they think they are free. But the crowds, it turned out, were not going to give up that easily. And they make their way around the Sea of Galilee, and they find Jesus again. The thousands of them ready to make him king so that he could give them the wealth that they thought he could promise. Jesus begins to talk with these crowds and says, "Look, the only reason you want me to be your king is because you ate your fill. You were satisfied with the bread and the wealth that you've been longing for, and that's the only reason you want me to be your king." He tells them, "Do not pursue such bread, such wealth. Such bread and wealth does not lead to real life." He says, "Pursue the only food that matters, faithfulness to the word of God." The crowds respond, "Moses took us out in the wilderness and he gave us bread from heaven and we were able to eat after we escaped from the Egyptian Empire." Jesus corrects them and says, "No, Moses did not give you bread in the wilderness. It was your heavenly Father who gave you bread." And he says, "Your heavenly Father has given you bread again. You just have missed it. I am the bread of life." Astonished, the crowds reply, "Jesus, we know your parents. Mary, Joseph, you know, those unwed parents of yours. You're the bread of life." Jesus tells them, "Your ancestors ate manna in the wilderness, and they still died. But I am here to bring you a bread of life that will give you true life. And even if you die, you will be raised again." He tells them, "My very flesh and blood are the bread of life. You must eat on my flesh, eat on my blood, and you will live." As you might imagine, at this sort of picture of cannibalism, the crowds start to back away. Who can accept such a strange teaching that we would eat this man's flesh and blood? We are told that the crowds start to disperse. Even Jesus' own followers start to leave. They start to bail. Jesus turns to his inner circle and he says, "How about you? Are you offended? Do you want to leave too? Here's your chance. Go ahead." And Peter responds with those famous words that we sing, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." What kind of bread are we pursuing in our world? Crowds in Jesus' day wanted him to be their lord, their king, when they thought that he could produce them wealth, bread to fill their stomachs. They'd never be hungry again in a traditional sense. Bread where there'd be so much left over that they would have the abundance of this great wealth. Are we the kind of people who want Jesus to be this kind of king for us as well? Jesus, I'll follow you anywhere if you fill my bread basket. Fill my bank account. Fill my life with wealth so that I don't have to worry about that anymore. If you do that, Jesus, I'll follow you. Is this the kind of bread that we pursue? Or do we pursue the food that Jesus has been talking about throughout John's gospel, the food of doing God's will, of obeying his word? Have we learned with Jesus that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord? What kind of king do we want Jesus to be? A king that fills us with what we want, or the king who gives us commands and calls us into a new way of life? Take a moment and think about your own life. How often do you eat food throughout your day? Traditionally, I think Americans tend to eat three meals, maybe four. A lot of places in the world, it's only two. But just think of how much a priority it is for you to make sure that you get to your mealtimes. I don't know about you, but if I miss a mealtime, I can quickly become grumpy and disturbed. Also think about how often do you spend time thinking about money, bank account, whether you're going to have enough to meet bills, enough to save for some future desire. How often do you think about such things? Now think, how often do you pause and listen to the word and teachings of Jesus? Does it compare even closely to how often you eat, or how often you think about money or bread in another form? What is the real food that you're pursuing and seeking in your life? Is it these meals, the pursuit of money and wealth and making sure that you're taken care of in that way? Or is the word of Jesus what you're pursuing and feeding on so regularly that if you were to miss a time with listening to Jesus, you would feel an emptiness within? I think if we pause and reflect on our lives, we might realize that we may be more like the people in Jesus' story today than we may want to admit. That we may be pursuing Jesus to be a different kind of king than we desire. That we may be pursuing a bread that he says is secondary at best, and starving ourselves of the true life, the true bread of life that he offers us as he teaches us and calls us to listen. What would it look like for us to feed on the word of Jesus, to feed on his example, his flesh and blood, so regularly, with such pursuit, that we did it as frequently or more frequently than we pursued bread or money. Jesus calls us again this day to realize he is the bread of life. Not normal food, not money, not wealth. Nothing else in this world can truly give us life. He says, feed on me. Feed on me and you will live. He is the bread of life. Let us go to him with renewed vigor, that we may listen to his word, put that word into practice, and truly live. Let us pursue him more than anything else. Amen.